It's time for the secrets of staffing success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Loud Announcer Voice. Yes, it is another edition of The Secrets of Staffing Success. I'm Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing here at Haley Marketing Group. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at Haley Marketing. You can also check out our website, haleymarketing.com, H-A-L-E-Y. And if you'd like to subscribe to this show, you can do so through iTunes, through Google Play, through Stitcher, and also on your podcast app on your iPhone. You can just subscribe to us there and have all of our brand new episodes sent directly to your phone. Well, our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the Director of Recruitment and Special Projects at Cornerstone Staffing Solutions. He's Brian Hatfield. Brian, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
As I like to do with everybody, give us your 60-second elevator pitch on Cornerstone Staffing.
Yeah, so Cornerstone Staffing is ranked as one of the largest staffing firms in the United States. It's funny. There's a big difference between the big boys and girls at the top of the list and Cornerstone. I think we come in right around that $100 million mark. So sometimes we make the list by the hair of our chinny chin chin, in all honesty. We are headquartered in Pleasanton, California, up in the Bay Area. And we're a company that's grown largely by acquisition. So we have a pretty diverse footprint. You know, we compete in the, you know, the heavy technology and extremely competitive markets in Northern California and Southern California. And then we skip across a few states and we have large and successful operations in and around the Michigan area and the Mid-Atlantic states. So Baltimore, Columbia, New Jersey, those places on the East Coast, those smaller states confuse me. As an Arizona, those smaller states confuse me a little bit. I always need to employ my Google Maps.
In the time that you've been in the staffing industry, which is a while now.
thank you for pointing that out.
I was trying to subtly say that. What's the biggest lesson you've learned over those years? What's that lesson that you always keep going back to?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, Todd. I am one of those few people that was recruiting into the staffing industry right out of college in 1995. And I've really only worked in staffing and recruiting my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I would say the biggest lesson and one that I always keeps coming back to is that professionals in our industry should constantly be aware of or remind themselves that we're in the people business. Mm-hmm. Meaning our product is not a widget, right? Mm-hmm. Every time we put somebody to work or every time somebody comes through our doors seeking employment, I think it's, you know, it's important to remember that that person comes in with, you know, a diverse set of life experiences with hopes and dreams and family challenges. Hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, everybody, I think in one capacity or another is looking to make a better life for themselves and provide for their families. So, you know, I think that's, you know, We don't just tweak a lever on a machine and yeah, change our products. So I think we need to constantly go back to those core values and remember that we need to respect our product.
Mm. I you know, that same message keeps coming up a lot in these interviews that we do. And like you
mean
said,
I'm not all that unique?
No. What I love about it is that it sets the big players apart from the smaller players, the successful, you know, we like to have staffing firms that we know are successful, hence the name of the show. But I think it's what sets certain companies apart, that they treat it as a people business, that, like you said, you're not just providing jobs. For a lot of these people, you're providing their livelihood. You know, you're giving them a better life. And I think the companies that are really successful in staffing, they never lose sight of that. I'm so glad you brought that up today. It's just such a great lesson to learn. In that time that you've been in the staffing industry, what's been the biggest change that you've seen?
when I look back over the biggest change over the last 5 or 10 years, I think the technology around VMS and MSPs have played an important part. I'll venture out on a limb here and say I'm not the biggest fan. I absolutely understand how there are cost containment advantages to such technology. But I tend to think it removes the human element more than I would like. So I think those companies that can play in that space and still kind of retain those values, you know, it's a challenge for a lot of us. Regarding, you know, the biggest change as I think about it today, the demographics of our workforce is changing and will continue to change rapidly over the next couple of years. The baby boomers are aging out of the workforce and the millennials are entering the workforce. I think with regards to the millennials, there's a lot of people out there that are quick to jump on or condemn or degrade the millennial mindset. I'm not one of those. In fact, I wish I were a millennial. There's a lot about the millennial generation that I absolutely admire, but I think it's interesting to consider how millennials view employment much different from baby boomers, right? They see it as more transactional. Mm-hmm. It's okay for them to, finger quotes here, job hop a little bit, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And I think that's going to pose a unique, you know, advantage or set of circumstances for the staffing industry because their mindset is very much in alignment with contract work, which is obviously what the staffing industry is and will always be about.
That's a great point. You know, part of your official title there is Director of Recruitment, which fits in so well to one of the ongoing themes of this show, which is how do you find great people? It's probably the number one issue in the staffing industry right now. What's been your most successful method over the years for finding really great talent?
You know what? I think I probably have, when I dovetailing back or jumping back to our footprint, like I pointed out earlier, we operate in the Bay Area up in Northern California, and we also operate in Cadillac, Davison, which are small rural towns in Michigan. So for Cornerstone, a unique challenge for us is that we have to have different recruiting models that are successful in different markets. So when I think about how we recruit in rural Michigan, it is really very much a grassroots recruiting strategy. Job boards, social media, you know, some of that stuff hasn't proven as beneficial in those particular markets as good old fashioned recruiting. So, you know, we have a much different model in Northern and Southern California than we do in our rural markets. But, you know, I hate to be cliche about it, but when you think about going back to basics, you know, Cornerstone in some of these markets does very well with recruiting tactics that I haven't used since the 90s, right? So we'll do yard signs and job fairs. We'll do mobile recruiting. We'll set up kind of micro recruiting hubs in neighborhoods on a very short notice. So, you know, that's one of the challenges in my job is, you know, the varying and differing audiences, that we have in different markets. So always got to be up on our toes, but at the end of the day, I think it boils down to the individual knowledge and expertise of our local staff to know what is best in their markets. So I view an aspect of my job of helping those people remove whatever barriers that they may come across.
Do you have a favorite story, kind of that candidate story, like we were talking about just a little while ago, but you know, the moving candidate story, you know, about the one that really kind of touched you and has really stood out over the years?
Well, I don't know if it's a single story, but I will give you one that I like. Back in, and I can almost pinpoint the year here, I would probably say it's 1999 or 2000, a candidate came, I was a staffing consultant, I was a recruiter, a candidate came, you know, through our doors who I ended up placing as the executive assistant to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company headquartered here in Phoenix. Mm. Back in the day, I was happy to get the fee, right? Mm. It was one of the biggest I'd ever done in my life. And, you know, I was ringing the gong like we all used to do.
Yep.
So shortly after that, this candidate sent her son to me, who I placed at one of our clients. She sent her second son to me, who I ended up hiring internally and hired as a recruiter to work in my organization. I helped her husband find a job. Hmm. And today her daughter is an executive recruiter on our team. Wow. So while it's not a individual story, yeah, I think it speaks to trust, right? Mm. So, yep, you know, throughout the, and I'll say this happened over the course of 10 or so years, right? Mm-hmm. That I think when you establish trust and credibility with somebody, you know, they know that you have your best intentions. Now, you know, sometimes there's some luck there. You know, there's some luck that I was actually able to get them all jobs. It wasn't, you know, that's not necessarily the case. But you know what? I would like to say that sometimes when there's a candidate that walks through the door, I mean, I think that example I gave is pretty powerful around, yeah, trust and credibility. The second point is sometimes, you know, more than once a candidate has walked through my door and I have not been, either my firm or I have not been the recruiter that's been lucky enough to place them. Mm-hmm. However, because I treated them with such dignity and respect, I still get the referrals. You know, not to beat a dead horse here, but I think it goes back to operating from a place of values.
Yeah, that's a great story. I love that. And you're right, that trust factor. You know, there's the, you know, the common phrase in the staffing industry about you know, the net promoter score. And you know, the question is asked, how likely are you to refer this firm to your friends? And I think that takes it a step further. How likely are you to refer it to your own children, and for them to put that trust in you to take on their children and to find their children employment? I think just speaks volumes about you guys.
You know, speaking of net promoter scores, I'm going to do a little plug here. You know, my title at Cornerstone is Director of Recruiting and Special Projects. So if you could see me right now, I'd be doing air quotes around special projects. And honestly, it's the favorite part of my job. I often say I have the best job in the company because I have the opportunity to go break anything that I want into the organization. I have kind of full authority, if you will, to work on whatever I think might add value or wherever our CEO points us. But one of the special projects I manage is our customer satisfaction, our NPS. So we, like many other staffing providers, employ a third party firm called Innovero to manage our customer satisfaction. We are a multiple year award winner for being recognized as the best of staffing client satisfaction. Mm. And it is, if I were to point to something that I'm a feather that I'm most proud of, that's probably the biggest feather in my cap. But I highly respect the NPS process. I highly respect Innovero as a third party independent firm that manages the customer satisfaction survey results for us. And at the end of the day, you know, we, Cornerstone Staffing, has an NPS score that, you know, pretty darn on the levels of Nordstrom and Disney and wow, others. So, yeah, something that not only myself, but our entire organization is extremely proud of.
Is that something you guys use as a differentiator when you're going in and talking with clients?
Absolutely. It's where the rubber meets the road, right?
Yeah. How important has social media been? I know you mentioned in some of the rural markets, you know, it's not as prevalent, but I'm guessing in the California markets that you have, that social media has kind of had a pretty good impact on both your sales and the recruiting side of your business.
it's well, funny you should mention, because right before this call, literally minutes before we, Cornerstone published our, with the help of Haley Marketing, we published our first ebook, Top 10 Ways to Hire Safe Workers. You know, we were, you know, promoting that on social media, and I was, you know, coming up with my target audiences. So yes, social media is important. I also think it's elusive. Mm-hmm. And for a company our size, I'll be completely honest, we have not mastered it by any means. Mm-hmm. you know, we have kind of limited resources, so we look to our partners, you know, for guidance and expertise in how to deploy it. So I think we do a decent job with it. I like to think that we produce some good content, but there's always more work to do.
In all areas of the business, right? I mean, it's like the analogy, once you're a homeowner, there's always something wrong with the house. I think certainly the same thing with running a business. Speaking of running a business, what if you can look at one piece of technology investment that you guys have made over the years, what's had the biggest impact on your business?
You know, I absolutely can't answer that. And I'll tell you why. You know, anecdotally, I help with the onboarding process when we bring new internal staff on, right? Mm. And I am constantly amazed at how many user accounts and logins that we have to set up whenever we launch a new hire. I think at latest count, it's about 17. So we use 17 different technologies in our organization. I don't mean to dodge the question, but I think the better answer is that we need to hire a technology savvy internal staff, because it's not like there's one single magic and a, you know, one single magic elixir out there that is going to solve all of our technology problems. Mm. And the fact is that today we need to be able to work with our recruiters, and our managers need to be able to work proficiently in a number of different technologies. Mm. So, you know, hiring people that have the ability to grasp technology and kind of do it at a self-learning pace is something that we're always, you know, seeking in new recruits.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, I want to ask Brian about their community involvement initiative, Cornerstone Cares. Stick around. We'll be right back on Secrets of Staffing Success.
This is David Cerns, CEO of Haley Marketing, and thanks so much for listening to Secrets of Staffing Success. Stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more. It's not just our catchy slogan. It's our goal for all of our staffing clients. If you'd like to find out how we can help your company achieve these three objectives, please check out our website at haleymarketing.com. Or better yet, give us a call at 888-696-2900. Thanks again for listening, and now let's head back to Todd.
Welcome back to Secrets of Staffing Success. We're talking with Brian Hatfield from Cornerstone Staffing Solutions. I know one of your big initiatives internally is Cornerstone Cares, which is your community involvement program. First, tell us a little bit about that, how it came to be, and how it has benefited not only, obviously, your community, but also your team and your firm.
You know what? I hate to play buzzword bingo here, but Cornerstone Cares was truly developed organically within the Cornerstone structure, in the Cornerstone organization. And what I mean by that is it was not necessarily a top-down driven process. It didn't come from our CEO. It did not come from myself. It bubbled up from our field, in terms of wanting to literally give back to the communities. Now, that being said, it absolutely has the support, you know, at the highest levels of Cornerstone. But it started off anecdotally in one of our markets wanting to, Cornerstone does holiday parties, much like other organizations throughout the year, you know, at the holiday season.
Sure.
And one of our markets decided that instead of spending whatever budget, that they were given to have this holiday party, that they wanted to give back to the community. And in this specific instance, it was at an animal shelter. And it wasn't thought out. It wasn't planned. We knew we had X amount of dollars, and God bless the teams. I still laugh at it because I think it's such a beautiful image. They literally popped themselves down at an animal shelter for a couple days. And every time somebody came in to adopt a pet, there's fees associated with that. Somebody at Cornerstone sat there and swiped their credit card and paid for paid for that adoption, paid for the licensing, paid for the you know, the vaccination, the chip, and all of that stuff. And then gave a couple chew toys or cat toys or whatever it was. So it started with the most sincere, humble beginnings, and I think honestly that's what makes it special. And then it's grown, of course, throughout the organization. But I think that authenticity has never been lost within the organization.
that's a pretty incredible story there. That's great. So many things, you know, we take time, you know, a couple times a year to come up with, we call them innovation days. We just actually did one yesterday, in fact. And that idea of from
I saw you're out of office.
Yeah, that idea from the bottom up, you know, about doing things, you know, from the grassroots method. It's a phrase we've used a couple times here already in this episode, but getting inspiration not from the top down, which is prevalent in so many organizations, but from the bottom up of really truly listening to your staff and what they want the company to be and what the direction that they want the company to go. I think that's a really powerful message. I like that.
Agreed. And like I said, the authenticity of it is what shows through, right? Mm-hmm. It's not some corporate statement, you know, from a communications officer or a CEO or, you know, whomever. Mm-hmm. It, you know, there's just a realness to it. Yeah. And I think that's what's honestly what's breathed life into our program. And, you know, from a business aspect, you know, we all appreciate the charitable aspects of it, right? Mm-hmm. But from a business aspect, you know, people constantly, you know, reach out with ideas or suggestions on how they want to get involved or what is Cornerstone's charity of choice, if you will.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't really care what it is, and neither does our CEO is. As long as you get involved and your intentions are well-meaning, right? Mm-hmm. So it's great to drum up new business through a program like Cornerstone Cares, right? Like, let's be honest, we all appreciate that. But do not go to a meetup or some sort of, you know, some sort of charitable event with the idea that you're either going to pass out or collect business cards, because that doesn't do anybody any good. Right. So when you want to get involved, do it with the right heart and the right intentions. And, you know, that I think that's how you earn trust and credibility with potential clients or in the community or whatever, because they realize the sincerity.
I want to talk a little bit about your internal staff. You know, it's funny when you hear staffing firms say, I have a really hard time hiring for my internal staff, because part of you goes, well, isn't that what you do for a living? But it is an ongoing issue in the staffing industry. What's been your secret to hiring and managing great recruiters or sales reps?
Again, I wish I had the magic elixir. I don't know if I necessarily do, because, you know, just like everybody else, there's times when I'm confident that somebody's going to be a superstar and that doesn't necessarily work out. Mm. And there's times when, you know, I question it, and the employee does, you know, become a rock star, if you will. We recently made a big investment in our internal hiring process. And we all just last week actually completed a workshop called Top Grading. And Top Grading is a methodology used by very successful firms. I mean, GE, General Electric, is a top grader, if you will. So in short, we employ this process to try to sort out A players from B players. It's interesting, you know, every company can probably categorize a certain segment of their employment populations, meaning 20%, 30%, whatever, as A players, B players, or C players. We go through a pretty daggone selection process that, you know, can be cumbersome and time consuming for both us and the candidates. But at the end of the day, we want, you know, only want those employees that we think are, superstars. Mm. So if you haven't looked at Top Grading, look it up. I highly recommend it.
You mentioned you've spent pretty much your entire professional life in the staffing industry. Where do you turn even today for support and for inspiration in your career?
So, I have a two-prong answer. So, I have been incredibly fortunate throughout my career to have mentors. And I don't necessarily mean this as good bosses, right? Or good managers, but people who have seen my passion, seen my drive, seen my talent, and taken the time out of either their busy day, their busy work day, or their life to coach and train and develop me. And like I said, I think it's important to separate the difference between a good manager and a good boss. somebody can give good direction and good feedback and good coaching. That's all extremely valuable. But those people that, like I say, recognize a spark and stop and say, hey, this guy has, this man or woman has value, and I'm going to do everything that I can to nurture that. So from a business perspective, that's it. The biggest inspiration that I have in life right now is my 10-year-old son. And we recently adopted him in July, so just a couple months ago, from the Arizona foster care system. And first of all, it was the best decision I ever made in my life. But I'll tell you, despite the tragic upbringing that he inherited, his ability to see positive intent blows my mind. And I'll give you a silly example. This morning we were driving to school and somebody cut me off, right? And I think we all know our first reaction, right? Like we get mad, you know, there's probably a few gestures there and, I had to slam on the brakes and, you know, it made me nervous. And my son Tristan said, he said, maybe his son's running late for school today too, Daddy. It shook my world a little bit because it, like I said, positive intent, right? This person didn't, you know, intentionally try to, you know, cause an accident or anything like that. I don't mean to get choked up here, but he has a way of looking at life with rose colored glasses that I pray to God that he never loses.
Yeah, that's a great story. I believe me, I am as guilty as any dad out there of having to bite my tongue, and sometimes I don't bite my tongue very well in the car when people cut me off. I'm the king of road rage a little bit, but I think we could all use a little bit of that positive thinking in our lives. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Todd, the next time that happens, I hope that little story pops into your mind.
I absolutely will, and thank you for sharing that. That's a really great story. Before we let you go, if we look 2 to 3 years down the road, what will the staffing industry look like? How different will it look?
Well, I don't know how much of a futurist I am, two things. Number one, I think the baby boomers exiting and the millennials, joining the workforce is from a people perspective is probably the biggest challenge that the American workforce in general is going to have to learn to adapt to. Secondly, in terms of technology, I'm really interested in artificial intelligence. And this is completely outside of my wheelhouse. I'm not Elon Musk here, right? But I think as whether it's, you know, Alexa or some of the other gadgets that are coming along, how is technology going to automate the recruiting process? And I will give you a plug here. And for anybody that happens to be listening to this, this is Todd or Haley did not ask for this, but we recently ventured into this. We stuck our big toe into the artificial intelligence with our chatbot on our website. Companies don't have the opportunity to, you know, at one time there were live humans sitting there interacting with instant messenger candidates or customers all the time. And that's not necessarily a cost-effective model. So I'll tell you, just in the last month, we have put a chatbot on our website that helps both prospective customers and employees get to know who we are as an organization and quickly get the information that they need. I'll tell you that, you know, I can't give you an exact percentage because it's so new, but the number of leads that we're generating from both the candidate and the client side has dramatically increased. So something I'm going to keep my eye on and personally see how it impacts the overall industry.
That's great. And yes, thank you very much for the plug. And
I'll take a check.
It's always good to know when stuff we do works for our clients. We always like to hear that. Brian, I really can't thank you enough for your time today and sharing not just your secrets of staffing success, but just those personal stories here. And I think you guys do such a great job of, like you said, remembering that we are in the people business. And when we lose sight of that, I think that's when business starts to suffer. But just thank you so much. I want to wish you guys and just everyone at Cornerstone nothing but continued success. And thank you so much for sharing your insights and your experiences from the staffing industry.
Yeah, of course. It was first time I've done this. It was fun. Thanks for including me.
My big thanks there to Brian Hatfield from Cornerstone Staffing Solutions. If you want to check out more about Cornerstone, you can go to cornerstone-staffing.com and learn more about them. You know, I don't want to keep harping on this and going back to it, but I think it's just it's the perfect message that everybody in the staffing industry, they are in the people business. And we see that too many times where staffing firms forget that. And he's right that, you know, it turns into the flipping of the switch company and we treat candidates like numbers and just nameless, faceless people. And that's when things start to suffer. And that I was so glad he brought it up because we've heard this from a few of our guests that we've talked to is that they're in the people business. They're providing not just, you know, a job, they're providing a life for some people. You know, one of our clients did a great video a couple of years ago where they just interviewed some of their candidates and talked about, yeah, I have a job, but I also have a house now. I have a car. I can provide for my family. And those are really the powerful stories. And you know, you can use that in client marketing and you can use it in candidate marketing. That's what makes those stories so great is you can use it, say, hey, you know, when you hire our people, you're not just giving them a job, you're giving them a life. And on the candidate side, you know, look what we've done for some of our candidates. We can do the same thing for you. We're going to treat you like the person. We're going to treat you with respect that you deserve. So I think when we lose track of that, that's when things start to falter. But if you can just always keep in mind, we're in the people business. And just remember, you know, we all are going to have bad days and sometimes a candidate's not going to be great in an interview. But you know what? If you put them in a position and give them a chance to thrive, they're probably going to surprise you a little bit. And just the stories that Brian shared were so great. So I want to thank Brian again. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can always find us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher. If you have the podcast app on your iPhone, you can subscribe to us so that all of the brand new episodes get sent directly to your phone. While you're there in iTunes or Google Play, if you don't want to mind, just leave us a quick review. Let us know what you like about the show. Let other people know what you like about the show. And if you have any suggestions at all about the show, if there's a guest or a topic that you'd like to see covered, just shoot me an email, todd@haleymarketing.com. And we will be back in 2 weeks with another great episode of Secrets of Staffing Success.